18. This is God's word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down it of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let us pray. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, as we are approaching this end of the first day of the week, we pray that you will open again my mouth and heart to proclaim your truth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and minds to receive and put into practice your holy word. All this we ask you, gracious Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sheep are not the brightest of four-legged creatures. If left unattended, sheep can quickly wander off a cliff. Sheep that leave their shepherd are easy prey for wolves or any number of sheep-eating predators. Besides that, sheep are pest magnets. They get ticks, lice, and worms, and regularly have to be dipped in strong chemical to keep them healthy. Maybe all of those reasons combined explain why God, in his wisdom, compared us to sheep in the Bible. All we like sheep have gone astray, says the scripture. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the hymn writer said it is this way, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. This is our nature as a sheep. This is why sheep needs shepherds, and even why pastors and elders themselves, those who shepherd the local flock of God, they need to stay under Christ's authority as well. Paul said that the elders of the church at Ephesus say to them, pay carefully attention to yourself and to all flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. If under shepherds wanted to care of the sheep that God entrusted to them, they must pay careful attention first to their own lives and make sure that there is no gap between what they preach, what they say, and what they live. God purchases his flock with the unmatched price of his son's blood, which explains why God's church value, your values, is priceless. The audience to which Christ was addressing his fourth I am statement was undoubtedly familiar with the sheep shepherd imaginary, which was endemic to Palestinian Judaism's daily life and culture. The same audience was also informed by the several Old Testament scriptures through which God himself declared as to be the shepherd of Israel. Psalm 23, Psalm 80. Leading, caring of his people through his appointing under-shepherds, which were elders, judges, kings, and religious leaders. Therefore, for Jesus' audience, was clear to envision the Old Testament scriptures standing behind Christ's words. And the passage that most help us to enter into the arguments that our Lord Jesus is doing, is giving, is actually Ezekiel 34, with the harsh prophecy against the self-serving and self-aggrandizing shepherds of Israel. They, after being publicly set apart, anointed, and ordained to be the spiritual leaders of the Judaic sheepfold, have instead turned to feed themselves with the fat sheep, killing and not strengthening the sick, nor healing the injured one, and ruling over God's flock with force and harshness. False-hearted shepherds who had no interest in the spiritual good of God's people. Hireling men who simply would engage to look after the flock as any other paid job, not by divine call. That's been the way that the Church of God throughout the ages has been literally bedeviled. And this continues even to the present day. Sadly, brothers and sisters, hirelings can be everywhere. No denomination can be immune from wolves in sheep's clothing. But praise God, praise the Lord, as Jesus says in Matthew 7, we can rejoice. The sheep of the Lord can unmask the false under-shepherd by their fruits. Therefore, God declares his fury against these people, against them, the religious leaders, promising his revenge for the blood of his wounded sheep, but also promising to send to his flock, to his sheep, the Savior shepherd. Ezekiel 34 says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, namely Jesus Christ, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, Christ, shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. What a wonderful verse, saying that our God takes care of his sheep despite all. Certainly by knowing Ezekiel 34 or Psalm 23 and other Old Testament messianic passages, the Pharisees should have quickly realized that through the statement, I am the shepherd, the good one, Jesus was once again openly saying to them, look, I am Yahweh in flesh. Start trembling. The great shepherd of Israel, the one who has come according to the prophecies to rescue my flock, saving them by laying down my life. Therefore, by looking at these eight verses, let's derive two more flock-reassuring realities this night contained in this verse, namely the ground of the flock's salvation and the extension of the flock's salvation. Let's see the ground of the flock's salvation. Why Jesus is the good shepherd? In verses 11 and 14, he does not present himself as another shepherd, but as the shepherd, the good one, says emphatically the Greek version. Namely, the one who is the most excellent, because contrary to all those who preceded him, he defines himself as the one called to wage war to everyone, no, to lay down his life for his sheep. Certainly, some of those hearing these words may have thought, what a story is this? How can a shepherd save his sheep if he dies? The death of a shepherd was very rare among the Palestinian shepherds. A dead shepherd would simply mean a disaster for his sheep left entirely exposed to predators. In fact, any common shepherd would have preferred to remain and fight for the 99 rather than going to rescue the dispersed one, while leaving the 99 unattended. But Jesus is not a common shepherd. He is a sui generis. Let me say this Latin slash Italian word. He's not a common shepherd. He has been sent to eternally secure the life of all his sheep by his voluntary, laying down his life on account of them, in line with his Father's will, as requested to the Son in the intra-Trinitarian covenant of redemption made in eternity. And this is what makes Christ beyond compare with any other shepherd leader, that by the power of his death, far from exposing his flock to further ravages, as John says a few chapters later, he draws his sheep to himself, just dying. And far from being accidental, Jesus' death must occurred to be precisely the ground that qualified him to be in his humanity, the good shepherd. A point this presupposed in Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews 13:20, which acknowledged Jesus to be the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who, by virtue of the blood of the eternal covenant, the covenant of grace inaugurated at the cross, gives his life once for all to bring his sheep from the sheepfold of slavery, we have seen this morning, and death to the sheepfold of the Lord, the place of everlasting security and fullness of life. What a good news. Therefore, the good shepherd's death means secured salvation for his foreknown, for loved flock, for me and for all of you that have been saved by him. Jesus says also, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Unlike the Jewish leaders defined by Jesus' hired hands who do not know the people, Jesus knows his people and they know him. What Christ is saying here is that the very same personal intimacy and loving relationship that Jesus and the Father share is the same intimacy and loving relationship that Jesus shares with his sheep. A particular life-giving love that exists between the good shepherd and his sheep. Think about what being in Christ means, receiving through Christ the love that the Father has for the Son. To this extension, God loved the world that sent his only begotten Son, says John 3:16. The unmeasurable life-giving love that flourishes from the priceless sacrificial death of Christ is the caring, life-giving love we receive as a sheep of his redeemed flock. Wow. Can you grasp how secure is your life in Christ? Can you grasp how loved are by the Father? You may convey with me that, generally speaking, being a believer, a believing sheep under this sun, is not at all easy sometimes. But I can tell you that being an Italian Reformed believer, believing sheep, is even more challenging in times like this. Many of our Italian Reformed and Presbyterian fellows, which, as I told before, are less than 200 in all country, and well scattered and different groups far from each other, have gone through a lot in the last few years. I'm sure that what is keeping most of them spiritually alive, among their physical and spiritual hardship that they are facing, is not their holding fast to a human that, for some of them, even inexistent pastor, like the folks in Lecce. They don't have pastor. So they are surviving because are not holding fast to a human pastor, but the fact that they are holding fast to the pastor par excellence, Christ, their good shepherd, who sustains them with his life-giving love in the midst of every trial. That they are going, that we can go, that we have went. This is what sustained the church of Christ. In 2017, those who today form the Lecce's core group were kicked off by the local Pentecostal church because Calvinists. They were Calvinists in their soteriology. During the 3 months of lockdown here, I was highly surprised to hear several believers complaining about the impossibility to worship together in person, to the point that some of them have even left their churches. Think about the core group in Lecce is surviving since 2017 without a pastor and without the regular use of the means of grace, without being exposed to regular preaching and sacraments during the last 3 years. I marvel as they keep saying to me, "Vincenzo, it's hard. The sooner you come, the better it is for us. But even if we have no local pastor and elders, we are surviving because we are holding fast to our good shepherd, whose life-giving love provides, nourishes, and keeps us." Dear sisters, dear brothers, Christ is the faithful that never deserts nor abandons his sheep. Wow. This is to say that good under shepherds are certainly appointed by Christ to be a blessing for the flock, but are neither the source of the blessings nor the foundation of the sheep's life. To a good, humble, God-fearing under-shepherd is not asked to lay physically down his life for the church, but he must die to himself and be clothed by Christ so that he might watch over the flock with Christ's eyes and heart, night and day striving to present every sheep mature in Christ. By constantly pointing to the whole flock, not to himself, but to Christ alone. And the good shepherd of the sheep who has laid down his life for them is Christ. Dear congregation, this is why you should not neglect to pray for your earthly pastors, elders, deacons, during your daily prayers, so that they may finish the race, having fought the good fight and fulfilled their hard but beautiful call. It is for their, but also for your sake, to have a God-fearing under-shepherd of God. There is also a sense in which I think this passage is relevant not only for the ministers and the elders of a congregation, but also for you, husbands, for you, wives, and parents in general. Parents, there is a sense in which you are shepherds of your own little flock, your families. Do you continually point your own little flock to the Good Shepherd? Husbands, do you lay your life down, namely put the need of your little flock before yours? You are supposed to be a picture of the person and work of Christ, and likewise, you wives are supposed to be the portrait of the church in submission to Christ. Do you also seek to lay down your lives for your little flock, your children, pointing them to the one true shepherd? Are we all living out our identity according to who we are in Christ by laying down our lives for our little flocks that we have around? Whether we are in our families, our workplaces, schools, and churches as well. Because what Christ declares in verse 16 involves all his sheep, me and you as well, which are all called to be disciple makers. In fact, we all received the ministry of reconciliation as Christians, to work with Christ to complete the extension, and here we enter in the second point, the extension of the flock's salvation. Christ anticipates that his redemptive work as a messianic shepherd will extend beyond Israel's sheepfold to include the Gentiles' sheepfold. In verse 16, he tells the audience, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Jesus' death was not only for the Jewish nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. Jesus was foreshadowing both the close apostolic times and ministry, but also our later times. Do you remember that he was praying in the last part of the high priestly prayer for those who would have believed, for thanks to the preaching of his disciples? When his gospel would be taken not to Jewish only, but to Samaritans and Gentiles, to the extent of the earth, even through your and my preaching, so that all elect may hear his voice, believing him and be incorporated into the one body, his church, led by the great shepherd of the sheep. This statement was as surprising as it was unacceptable to the Jewish, who had always believed that Gentiles would be permanently unworthy, pagan dogs. This was their belief. Outside of God's salvation and the covenant of promises, yet we read in the messianic songs of the servant of Yahweh in Isaiah 42, God the Father, who speaks to the Messiah, his son, saying, "I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nation, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from their dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness." This is the messianic promise that the good shepherd would open the womb of his heavenly sheepfold to the nations, to us, Gentiles, calling the elect out from their respective sheepfolds of slavery. And in Isaiah 49, the Father also says, "It is to light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nation again, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." In conclusion, I think In the end, we all must be filled with thanksgiving joy, brothers and sisters, and praise, because we have not been left to the self-serving plans of man, whether in the world or in the church. Instead, God himself, as Moses, Ezekiel, and Isaiah prophesied, has come in the person of his Son, the Good Shepherd, not only to lead us out from the dominion of Satan, sin and death, but to give us eternal life through his life-giving love. It is in this death, in his death, that he has freed us from our bondage. And it is Jesus who not only led us in himself, the door through which we must enter. In this regard, I can't help but close with David's words. And if you will, I will gloss them to perhaps sharpen the picture for us. Christ is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord Jesus leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Christ leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, O Christ, great shepherd of the sheep, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. O Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Therefore, beloved, we can most assuredly say that Jesus is our good shepherd, the one who leads us, blesses us, and brings us to rest by his green pastures, providing for all our daily needs and protecting us for the rest of our lives. It's not the earthly pastor that has secured your life, but the one who is God in person that has come to pay and to secure our lives. Let us never think that we can provide what only he can. Let us never forget, while facing hardship during our daily lives, that he prized our life to the cost of his priceless death. Therefore, let us pray that Christ would continually enable us to point to others, both in words and deeds, to Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for you have been faithful to your word, and that indeed you have come as you promised to lead your people, as a shepherd leading his flock. You bind up the wounded, you strengthen the weak, you seek out the lost, you feed the sheep. Father, we rejoice. We are not subject to the tyranny of bad shepherds. We rejoice that indeed you have come down in the person of your Son to lead us. We pray that in this way you would enable us to hear the voice of our great shepherd, so that we would follow him no matter where he goes. And then our chief desire would be to manifest the same love, the same care, the same sacrificial service that Christ has given to us, and that we would do to others, that we would desire to manifest that sacrificial nature of the Good Shepherd to those in our lives, and that we would be willing to lay down our lives for those whom we serve, manifesting the character, the righteousness, and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Father, keep and bless with your life-giving love these saints, part of your flock that gathers in La Mesa, and use them for the advancement of your kingdom and for your glory. We pray, All this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.